Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio Network. Our purpose on Journey to Success Radio is to interview people who are truly making a difference in this world, and today's show is going to be a real example of that. We're going to explore different aspects and areas of life on this show, including physical, mental, spiritual, relationships, disabilities, and many, many more important topics. My name is Tom Tutall Cunningham. I'm a Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructor and regular contributor to their weekly newsletter. I also recently spoke at the 2012 Napoleon Hill International Convention in Malaysia, where I shared the stage with Deepak Chopra. Myself, I've had rheumatoid arthritis from my jaw to my toes since age 5. That's 43 years now, and I've had 4 hips, 4 knees and 2 shoulders replaced and been hospitalized about 40 times. I'm also a senior research director for the Canadian Business Journal, and that is a digital-only publication, which is the official and only media partner with the Canadian Chamber of Commerce. You can find out more about me at my website. It's Tom, the number 2, and Tall, TALL.com. And my guest today is Bob Jackson from the Reentry Coalition in Georgia. In 2004, Bob decided to do something about the rate of recidivism for ex-offenders in Georgia. And working with government officials on several levels and with help from their corporate sponsor, Southwire, the Reentry Coalition officially opened their doors in 2008. Since then, they were chosen as a recipient of the Partner Agency of the Year Award in 2009 by the Department of Corrections. Bob himself has received an award from the United States Attorney General's Office for Outstanding Community Service and Partnership. And in 2011, they launched a partnership with Tip Top Poultry to hire ex-felons. And today, there are over 70 people employed through this program. Welcome to the show today, Bob, and welcome to all of the people on the line, and you guys can introduce yourselves that have been so instrumental to getting this program off the ground.
Well, thank you for having us, Tom. This is Bob, and I want to say that none of this happened by Bob's sole doing. This was a partnership and a team effort with Mr. Ferris and Mr. Sims helped leading the charge on this. But thank you for having us. And
Mr. Sims, if you could introduce yourself as well.
Yes, thanks for being on the show. This is Ferris, Narva Ferris.
Hey, Narva.
Yes, I and myself and Bob and Norm, we got together on this issue, and so this is where we are today with it, still struggling with it.
But you're making amazing progress in such a short time on a very, very important issue to not only the ex-offenders, but their families and the community around them. Tremendous, tremendous. And Mr. Sims, you're on the line as well?
Did you follow?
Well, maybe off. Mr. Moody?
Yes, I'm the chairman, but I came in, I used to work with the Georgia Department of Labor and worked in the Top Step program, which was the Center for Parole and Probation State Clean and Employment program. And I was so impressed with Mr. Jackson and his organization that when I retired from the Department of Labor, I wanted to join in. They were by far the most efficient organization that I've seen as far as doing reentry, which is a very hard job. And they did it all with just voluntary efforts and working with no pay or nothing, just the commitment from your heart and God. And I was very impressed, so I wanted to join in and see what I could pitch in to do to help them on the mission. And they had done a very excellent job.
Oh, and you said a great thing there. If someone throws their heart into it and God throws his favor behind it, you know that nothing stops something who is someone who's passionate and who has God behind them on their mission. And so a great, great, great thing that you guys are doing. It reminds me of a friend of mine in the UK, Tim Mayer, and he works with prisoners. He greets them at the gate on the first day they come out of prison. And one of his friends that came out, and he took them to the post office to cash a check. And so he wanted the guy to get some independence. He let him go up to the cash register and cash his check, and the person asked him what his address was. And he answered honestly. He said, "I don't have an address. I just got out of prison today." The woman was so nervous, she pressed an emergency button. In 5 minutes, like three or four police officers were there. And thank God my friend Tim was there to explain to them, hey, he's just cashing a check. He didn't do anything. He just said he got out of prison today, which was the truth. And so this is the type of thing that probably a lot of people that you deal with face on a daily basis. And so, Bob, let me ask you, tell me about what the term collateral consequences means for people that are coming out of prison. I know a little bit about it because my wife works for a criminal defense lawyer, but tell our listeners what that means for ex-offenders getting out of prison.
Collateral consequences, basically you described it in that incident there with your friend.
Yes.
Simply because the young man was, he said, prison. She reacted as though he was still, she reacted as though he was prior in his initial state as a criminal. She did
exactly.
not see him as a person that has completed his sentence and served his time, and now he's ready to acclimate back in the community. She responded as though he's still a criminal. And that's the essence of collateral consequences. You're still plagued and being treated as a criminal. In the housing sector, you're being tagged as a criminal. In trying to receive Social Security, because you are a criminal, or not a criminal, because you're an ex-offender, you do not have the same privileges, and they look at you and view you differently. When you go for a job, you can't get a job because you have a record. It has nothing to do with what you presently stand for and what you presently are doing just because you had a record. Then when we look at even in your own families where you start to try to acclimate yourself back into your household, you can't just step in. There are some things that has to be adjusted to make you fit. These are collateral consequences. These are things that you're faced with trying to get back into the mainstream of things. And sometimes people just not able to handle that. Somebody needs to teach them and show them how they can acclimate themselves back, in regardless to what the situation is. Driver's license. You have some guys that don't have and can't get driver's license simply because of their crime of drugs. Well, they've served 10 years, and they're back. They own probation, true enough. But because they had been convicted of drugs, they can't get driver's license without spending $1,500 to $2,000 to clear up a fine. But their license being held until that money is being paid and until they go through these classes. That's collateral consequences. They can't get a job if the job requires them to drive back and forth. So you got a fine that you need to pay. You got a license you can't get. So those are collateral consequences. That's just kind of a...
Yeah, and that's what I thought. That's why I used that story, because it kind of really explains what people face. And through no fault of their own, these guys are just trying to get back into life, trying to set up a bank account, cash a check, get a driver's license. And yeah, as you said, now a guy needs a job, needs a license for a job, can't get one, and they don't have $1,500 to $2,000 to get their license when they get out of prison. So it must be very difficult for ex-offenders to face this, hard on their self-image, hard on their life, hard on their family. And so, yeah, that is a tough thing. You've done your time, you've paid your penalty, and still people will paint you as if you are still an offender. Now, Bob, Napoleon Hill writes about something called a mastermind principle, where two or more people work together in perfect harmony towards a purpose or a goal. And that is exactly what you did with Mr. Ferris, who's on the line here. You worked with also Southwire, A.J. Sabree, B.J. Blair, Mayor Wayne Garner, and the city manager, Casey Cole, as well as a number of other people. Mr. Moody, who's on the line with us. You work together as a team for one purpose and one goal, because you really saw, you know, the meaning and the necessity of getting this done. And so tell me a little bit about those early days, because you came up with this idea in 2004, and it wasn't until 2008 that you officially opened your doors. So there must have been some struggles and challenges and some disappointment in those 4 years where you needed all those people you worked with to keep you going and keep you moving forward.
Well, when I was in college, I took Napoleon Hill's Mastermind Principles studies, and I understood it, I learned it, and it's always been a part of me because the principles work. And everything that I get involved in, I do that. Now, in this particular case, Mr. Ferris, Mr. Sim, and I were a part of an organization called the NAACP. And Mr. Ferris was one of the first Afro-American sheriff's deputies in Carroll County. Mr. Sims has been in Carroll County all his life, and he is both a very prominent figures in the community. And Mr. Ferris was saying to me that he was getting a lot of complaints from mothers, from fathers, grandmothers, grandfathers, wives, girlfriends, that their boyfriends and husbands and wives and what have you keep going in and out of prison, and they can't figure out why, because they're not doing anything. Sure, they went to prison for committing a crime, but now they're not committing crimes, but they're still going back and forth. So we got together and we started to take a look at this. And as we started to look at it, we found out that there was a lot of collateral consequences that was involved here that really was the culprit. It wasn't a crime that they were committing again, but it was the consequence of collateral consequences that were setting up the scenario for them. So we began to look closer at what was going on, and then we tried to put together a plan on addressing it. Well, Department of Correction was one of the areas. So we met up with Mr. A.J. Sabree and Ms. B.J. Blair, and we talked to them about our ideas of trying to do something in the community to stop that madness, because we found that it's a very small percentage of the people a very large percentage of the people that go back did not go back for committing another crime. They went back on technicalities. So we started to look at these technicalities, probation violation, parole violation, and really and truthfully, it was because they couldn't get a job, they couldn't pay their fines, child support was on their case, they couldn't make child support payment, and that's why they was going back and forth to prison. And plus, those things was causing more psychological and sociological and social problems with them trying to acclimate, that they didn't know what was going on. They were just vacillating around trying to figure out how in the world am I going to make a success of this mess. Their families didn't know what was going on, so they couldn't help them. And it was a mad thing. But we got into the mix, and we kind of found out what was happening. We developed a relationship with the sheriff department. We developed a relationship with the mayor, with the city manager, with a corporation, which was Southwire, is the one that after we met with them, they said that it's a good idea for what you guys are getting ready to do, and we support you. So we went to work in trying to put together this idea of trying to set up a buffer between the community and going back to prison. And that buffer was us, reentry. And we started to intercept some of the problems and help them work through the problems without them having to go back to the prison. We got with the parole office and probation and found out some of the things that were going on and some of the attitudes that existed that shouldn't exist. And, you know, one thing happened right after another. And as far as the mastermind principle, this thing came together unconsciously. I mean, we were doing it, but we didn't really realize what was going on. I knew that I had the principles of the mastermind partnership, but I didn't see that at the time. I was just making the relationships, and we were making the relationships that we needed to make. We was developing a network of people that we knew we had to have in order to make a difference. If you're going to make a change in some place, you got to get inside. So
yes.
In order to get inside, you got to develop that relationship. And we knew that we had to do it at the local level, and we also had to do it at the state level, because our vision was not just for Carroll County. Our vision was for the nation even, because we saw that it was a national problem. Recidivism in the national level is 60-70%. Well, it's similar to that in Georgia. So it's a national problem. So
yeah.
We start to address it as a national problem, but initially we started at the Carrollton County base. And
okay.
I guess
how did you come across Mr. Moody, who's on the line with us?
Well, Mr. Moody worked at the Department of Labor, and we did a lot of workshops with the Department of Labor. And we were there at all of the workshops, Reentry Coalition, or at that time NAACP Coalition. We were there. And Mr. Moody and us, we developed a good relationship over the years, and he watched us and observed us, and he was involved in us setting up the sister branch of this program down in Camden County. And he said, Bob, he said, I want to commend you, your group. You guys are doing something that I have not seen done the way you guys are doing it. He said, it's to be commended. And he said, anything I can do to help, I would love to be a part of it. So,
wow.
Everything else is
and now he's joined you, and that leads me to my next question, because Mr. Moody is retired now, and he's working alongside with you, and it's a big issue, pet kind of peeve in my life, about volunteerism. I see there's too many people. I'm in Canada, but I'm sure the same down there, but I see too many people who are content with working their job, going home, watching television, going to sleep, and going back to work the next day. They do not make any difference in their community. They don't make any difference in their country, and they're not making any difference in the world. Tell me about volunteerism and the state of volunteerism in the United States, and maybe some of your thoughts on that. Even Mr. Moody, if you wanted to put in some thoughts on those, because you're a good example, someone who in retirement is jumping in and helping others in their community, in their state, and in their country, instead of sitting back and watching the latest rerun of The Bachelor or some idiotic show.
First of all, again, I was impressed by Mr. Jackson and his organization by just working on their own. They once you had the organization had the total package. They had the intake. They worked with the technical school. They worked with GED. They worked with jobs. They worked with counseling, and they finished product. Reentry is a very hard thing to do. A lot of people talk it, but very few people can implement it and done it like Mr. Jackson and Reentry Coalition have done it, and I couldn't help with no funds, and they had everything together. It looked like a perfect fit, and, you know, I was just amazed, again, how they done it, and that is show the dedication of Mr. Jackson, Mr. Sims, and all the rest of them on the team, and I just say, what can I do, and I'm copying some of the same things that Mr. Jackson put down in my area to do some things with the DA, child support with the driver's license, working with the sheriff, and probation officer working with them, and I was telling Mr. Jackson the other week that we got a probation officer meeting at a center down here, and I told him before you revoke and send one of the guys back, unless you just do a on-the-scene crime or something, give me and the community a chance, and he'll agree. And all that came out of the network thing that I've seen Bob him do, and it's just amazing. And, you know, I let Mr. Jackson take it the worst, but it's a very hard thing to, I wouldn't say a hard thing to do, but it's hard to find people with the commitment like Reentry Coalition out of Carrollton had. And Mr. Gardner, Bob didn't tell you, he'll tell you Mr. Gardner used to be the head of the Georgia Department of Corrections in Georgia.
Wow.
The mayor, and he turned from a change of heart. And And Carrollton wasn't the better town that I thought was some of the thing, but Bob went there with a positive attitude. He didn't use past negativism and other things. He went with an agenda and stuck to the facts. And Wayne Gardner was known kind of like a law and order Department of Correction. Now he's one of the big supporters as mayor of the city of Carrollton for reentry. And some of the other things they had done with the sheriff's department and the DA office and the technical school. And it's just amazing when you get all these pieces together. And, you know, it's phenomenal. I wish even with money, certain organizations were able to do what Mr. Jackson and the Coalition Reentry did.
God doesn't start projects where he's not going to finish them. And so you know that funding is going to come at some point. And your life and what you're doing with them is such an example that I try to get across to people. People are striving so much for happiness in this world, and often it's by buying something. But when you get out and you serve other people and help to make their life better, this is where happiness and joy and purpose in life comes from, because I think this is what God created us to do. He didn't create us to look after only me, and what's the next thing I want to buy. So I can hear from your voice, Mr. Moody, the excitement, the joy, the passion you have for working with the Reentry Coalition. And Bob, tell me some of your thoughts on volunteerism as well, because you, as you had mentioned, you have a full-time job, and yet you invest a lot of time and effort and thought into the Reentry Coalition as well.
Well, first off, I think we, all of us, have hit on the fact of having God in our lives.
Yes.
Jesus said that the best among you are those that serve. And we all enjoy serving. We all enjoy what we're doing. One of the things is missing, one of the elements missing in our country today is the entrepreneurship. And along with the entrepreneurship comes volunteerism.
Yes.
Our entrepreneurship is down in this country. And our volunteerism is also down. Everybody is looking for a dollar to do whatever they do. How much am I going to get paid?
Yeah.
Well, we have often told people that come to us and ask our advice about setting up a reentry program. And they say, well, where are we going to get some money from? And I tell them, Mr. Ferris tells them, Mr. Sims, Mr. Moody, you don't worry about the money. Only thing you do is do the work. God will take care of the rest.
Amen.
Do what he puts on your heart to do, and do it religiously. Money,
yes,
and all resources that you need will come. We've been saying that since 2004, and we still believe firmly in that.
Amen.
And as you indicate, the money will come. The thing of it is so many people that have received the money, and the program and them and the money has disappeared. So it's not about the money. It's about the person first, and then the work. And people will see your work. They will see the sincerity. They will see the godliness in it. And they will contribute to that. But our focus is right now is trying to ignite the volunteerism back into people. Because, I mean, this is a huge problem. And as Mr. Moody indicated, people do not wrap their arms around other people's problems. Matter of fact, they don't even touch their own. That's why some of us vacillates the way we are. We're not even ready to address our own problems.
Yes.
So we have got to start to help people next door to us, because you can no longer stick your head in the sand and say that reentry doesn't bother me, even though you've never been to jail. Because when we look at the statistics, in Georgia, one out of every 13th person is either on probation or parole. Well, let's go to the church. If you got 100 people in there, 10 of them, roughly, is on probation or parole.
Amen, exactly. And so what are you doing to reach out to those?
Of this thing is closer to home than we care to look at.
Exactly.
And until we actually face the truth of the situation, it's going to keep rising, the recidivism numbers. But volunteerism is down, and we've got to figure out a way to ignite the people, get them back involved, and get them back volunteering to help just with their own people, their own family.
Oh, there's so many ways. And I hear people say, I can't volunteer. There's nothing I can do. Oh, my goodness, that just drives me crazy. There is so much to do. And Napoleon Hill's, one of his principles, as you know, Bob, is going the extra mile. And God rewards volunteerism. You don't do volunteerism for rewards. But God has set up this world and this universe that if he sees people out helping other people and volunteering and giving of their time and money and wisdom, he sets it up so that you get rewarded for that extra work and for going the extra mile and for making a difference in people's lives. And so if you go into it with your mind off of the money and on to serving others, God has already set it up and preordained that you will be blessed somehow,
right.
Not from the same people, not maybe necessarily monetarily. The blessings will come. You just focus on the work that God gives on your heart to do and, you know, keep your mind off your own problems and get on working for other, helping to other, help other people. When you help other people, your own problems often turn out to, you look at them and you think, maybe my problem isn't really a problem. And so important. I think young people are so disengaged in this day and age that they prefer to play a video game and then go out and help people. It's a sad state in Canada and the U.S. as well. Now, Bob, let's talk about a pretty fun thing, something that I can hear the joy in your voice when we talk about the first Christmas party that you had for the children of the ex-offenders. That was back in 2008. How did the children enjoy it? How did the ex-offenders enjoy it? And since then, you are doing this on an annual basis, so it must be something that you really, really love.
Well, I tell you, I think I, Mr. Ferris, and Mr. Sims enjoyed it more than the kids. But the very first time, you know, like they said, the very first time is always the best. But every one of them has been great. But the very first one was so touching because, it brought, what we did at this party was not just bring the children, but whenever the children come, the adults come. So we brought the probation, parole, Department of Corrections, sheriff's departments, we brought child support, we brought all these people together at a time that is unusual for those agencies and their clients. They never have a chance to see one another at a peaceful, rejoiceful type environment. So we brought that environment together, set that environment and brought those people together. So we had a chance to see some of the harder shelled people that began to be human with other humans. And they shared a moment of love and caring with these children, with their parents. And there was nothing discussed about your crime. There was nothing discussed about probation or parole. The questions was, can I get you a Coke? Let me serve you with this. Come on, let's go play this game. And it was fantastic. And then the thing about race, prejudices, discrimination, bigotry, those elements had disappeared in that setting.
Wow.
People were just loving and sharing. We had three or four little kids, little Caucasian kids. They were fantastic. And I say that because we've got a mixture of people here. And normally, in a normal setting, whites on one side, blacks on another side. You know, when it comes to the table to eat, you know, they say that you don't go to the table to eat with everybody. But this setting, everybody ate with everybody. And there was no perfect place for anybody to sit. We just sit. But these children, they wrapped their arms around my leg as I was trying to walk, and they was just dragging along, and they was just saying, thank you, thank you. He brought tears to my eyes.
Well, and God couldn't give you a better blessing than to have that. And this is a picture of how it's going to be in heaven. It doesn't matter anybody's color or culture. And so what a amazingly touching story. And as you said, very, very rare in with all the people that you had there that they drop their guard down. They become just normal people, humans, interested in other people. Christmas time brings that out, and that is an amazingly touching story. Mr. Ferris, were you at that one as well?
Yes, I was, and as Bob was stating, that's just the way it was. It was so, I really don't know what the word the words put with it, but it was so enlightening that you know, I think everybody enjoyed it, and we enjoyed it so well that it become an annual thing.
That's right.
And you know, I think about it now, and as I look at the photographs that was taken, you know, that really brings back joy to you. And this is one thing that really brings joy to me, because in 1990, I retired from my job at the age of 60. And since that time, I've been volunteering ever since that time. So...
And that must be an amazing sight. I bet there were a lot of tears shed at that first one.
Oh yeah.
by the children and by the offenders, by their ex-offenders, their families. The joy of the Lord and Christmas time brings that out in people normally. And so that first one must have been just a magical moment, and must have been a sign to all of you that God had truly ordain this and bless this this ministry for you guys.
That's right. I know this might be off cue, but at the, in the same flavor of this, we also go into the prison here. It's a county prison, and we have a 10-week program that we cover. A module of things to equip these young men on how to deal and how to cope with the various obstacles that they may find, to help them to deal with the collateral consequences. We cover conflict resolutions and probation and parole. We actually bring professional people into the prison, and they talk on their subject matter. And at the end of that, the guys ask them questions so that they can get a better feel for things that they're concerned about. Well, at the end of these graduations, now you, take it when you go in, everybody's all hard and reserved and, you know, manly and what have you. But at the end of these sessions, when it is time to say goodbye and they graduate, it has never been a class that there was not tears shared. And we talk about men.
Yeah, tough men.
Talking about killers.
Yeah,
killers, armed robbers.
Yeah.
Okay, snipers. But they came to a time in their life where they actually witnessed God's love.
Amen.
And it's an amazing thing to see and experience. It really is. It's beyond anything commercially known as reentry.
Amen. God's reentry program is the best reentry program. If He fills your life with friends like you guys, where, you know, maybe an ex-offender feels the love that you guys have for them, that will help them get through a lot of tough times when they get out, knowing that God loves them, God sent some people there to love on them and help them and give them some tools. And so that little encouragement, that little love goes a long, long way, I'm sure, for a tough fight for a lot of these people after they get out. Bob, tell me a little bit about your partnership with Tip Top Poultry, because we talked earlier about collateral consequences, and you know what? A company and their marketing and their president would have to think about collateral consequences. When you start a program where you're hiring ex-felons, it's probably going to be a little tough at times. And so what an amazing and tremendous partnership that is with Tip Top Poultry. And tell me a little bit about the challenge you had as well, because there was a challenge with the driving and getting everyone there. So you had to overcome a little fair bit of challenge to get that program underway. But What a great organization to work with you guys like that, and what a good solution you've figured out to get it up and running.
Well, you know, going the extra mile is man, that says a heck of a lot. When you got guys like Mr. Ferris, you got guys like Mr. Sims, and he works down at the Capitol, so he's very, very busy. He gets on and off on the calls, but you got Mr. Moody that has been in and around corrections and the Department of Labor. These guys know how to make it happen. we initially, in our initial investigation and observation, found that if you can get a man hired, get him a job, 50 to 60% of his problem is answered. And if you can keep him unemployed, 30% or 60% of the chance of him going back to prison is there. So understanding that equation and those numbers, this year, last year was a test because we talked to several different companies and we could not make any headway. We talked to TipTop, and TipTop says, hey, we want to give people a chance. TipTop is a Christian-oriented company. It's a private company. And they're very Christian-oriented. And they don't just talk the talk. They walk it.
Yeah.
They showed up. And they said, Bob, we will team up with you guys, and we will help you help them. And they got a sister company up in Cobb County. But we work with them, and we put 15 people to work the first week.
Wow.
And then the numbers grew. And as you always know, you know, you have that that group or that few that will not work out. But
yes.
Even though starting in September of last year up until now, excuse me, we got 70 people hired. We've got some people that have been the epitome of workforce for the company. They have, they have gave all kind of accolades to most of our people up there. They promoted
wow.
to supervisors. The program is just so powerful because you take a man that cannot afford anything and all of a sudden you get him working and you get him into a corporate 500 company where he actually can choose to go into 501K, 401. He can get dental, medical, where before
wow.
he couldn't get any dental
yeah.
or any medical insurance because he couldn't afford it. His
right.
family couldn't even sign him into their program because they couldn't afford it. But here a guy goes from the negative column in our society into the positive asset column in our society and begins to
Amen.
Become independent.
Amen.
I mean, we've got a program this year that we rolled out. It's called National Companies Take 7. And what we're going to do this year is hit the pavement on these companies, and we're going to be asking for them to just take 7 people, just 7, and give them a shot, give them a try, so we can
nice.
Reduce the recidivism and also reduce the unemployment. Because if you look at unemployment among ex-offenders, it is high. Extremely.
Yeah.
Extremely. We look at the numbers, 13.5%. That is not included with the ex-offenders because they cannot apply for a workman's, what do you call it?
Unemployment for benefits, social benefits.
Yes, they can't apply for that. So they're out here floating around, so the numbers are higher than what we actually see. But I tell you, this program has really made the difference in a lot of people's lives. I mean, they come back and they tell us all the time. They say, we really appreciate you all sticking with us and getting us hired. We, like I said, we want to work on the plant in Cobb County. We need to get a van, and we're trying to find someone that will give us a van, donate us a van, excuse me, so that we can get people back and forth to work up there. They gave us a whole shift. And they said, if you can get some people, you got it. So that's what we're working on right now.
Well, I know some heavyweights in Georgia, people with money, and I'm going to find them. I'm going to see what they can do about a van for you.
Okay.
And then also, I'm going to contact a number of Napoleon Hill Foundation people I know, and we're going to try and get you a website up and running so you can promote a lot of these things. That National Companies Take 7, that's an amazing initiative. And as you were talking about putting these men to work, I thought and I was thinking that when you put that person to work, that ex-offender, is not only is affecting his life, it can be a generational blessing. It could mean that his children don't repeat what he did. It means that he can feed his family. It means that his family will look up to him now and need him in their lives. And so anytime you affect one person's life like that, it affects a bunch of other people, and it affects people generationally as well. And so one life moved into the asset column affects a lot of lives here and now and years to come as well. And so every one of those people is making a difference on a bunch of other people as well. And so what a tremendous thing that with Tip Top Poultry and that National Companies Take 7 sounds like a great initiative as well. You're not asking them to take all of them. We're just asking them to take 7. So 7 is not too much to think about. Now, Bob, in 2009, you started. That was like just 1 year after you started. You started in 2008. And in 2009, you had 275 clients in that year, people from Department of Corrections, Department of Labor, all kinds of places were sending you clients. So how were you able to get the word out to all those different sources that refer clients to you so quickly?
Well, when you got people that work like Mr. Sams, he works at the state, and he's in constant communication. And then you got Mr. Moody that was at the Department of Labor. Like I said, we went around to all of the job fairs and all of the meetings that were being held around the state, and we were getting the word out that way. However, the major thing was the fact that here locally, all of the judges. We have a very close relationship with all of the judges, Judge Simpson, Judge Sullivan, Judge Johnson, Judge Blackman, all of the judges in the circuit. We have that relationship with them. And they send people to us. We visit the courts as often as we can, and he would refer people to the program. He said, the program works. I want you to go to that program. I want you to get with Mr. Ferris, Mr. Sams over there, and Bob, and tell them what your problem is and see if they can't help you. And as far as the Department of Corrections, we, every 90 days, we receive a list of people that are coming, being released, coming to a 7-county area, which is where we are out here in Carrollton. And we send them notification that we know that they are coming. And this is our information. What we want from you is what do you think that we need to help you with, or what do you know we need to help you with, and send it back, the questionnaire. So it comes back, and then we go about setting up something so when they are released, we'll be able to assist them. We haven't had all of the resources that we really want to, but we really want to get into some things like developing some housing where we can set up different houses around the state so when people are being released. Matter of fact, you got people in the prison system right now in Georgia that's been released, been paroled, been discharged, but they have no address.
No.
Whether they're a sex offender or whether they just no sex offender, they just don't have an address, don't have a family. So they sit there in prison. We want to address that. But we've got to get the word out to people that have money, have resources, and say, hey, stop letting that house run down and rot. Let's go in, fix that house up, and put some people in there and get them out of prison.
Amen.
But it's a lot of initiatives. Housing is one, and employment is two initiatives this year that we really want to focus on because we find that it's really, really bad, really bad.
Yeah, and if those two things are two of the most important issues in anyone's life, having
anybody.
A job and having a roof over your head.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's right.
And so it's not like you're asking for the moon and the stars. You're asking for decent treatment of people who have served their time and want to now make a difference and get back on the right track. So a job and a roof over their head is a major challenge, I know, to get everyone covered, but at the same time, it's something everybody, whether you've been in prison or not, desires for their life.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Bob, one last question here. If you had the opportunity to speak with the President of the United States, what would you talk to him about?
I would sit down and say, President Barack Obama, we need your help in addressing this collateral consequences situation and that's affecting the success, that's blocking the success of a lot of the people that they determined to be recidivist. It is much of a situation trying to get these guys to wail through the collateral consequences that they face once they serve their time. And we need to have a meeting from the top to the bottom, really, and we need to have a real good, solid, unrestricted conversation, because a lot of the resources at the top are not getting to the bottom, and a lot of the complaints from the bottom ain't getting to the top. And that has got to stop in order for us to really stop this bleeding of recidivists. And I would just ask them for an opportunity to be at the round table when that discussion gets ready to be had in discussing solutions to address that.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much for your time today, Bob and Mr. Moody and Mr. Ferris and Mr. Sims. I'm sure that once you get up to heaven, you are all going to receive your Well Done, Good and Faithful Servant Award, and that will mean more than any award you ever receive here on earth. And so thank you guys for joining us, and I'm going to work on your behalf to help you, get you some help, and see what I can do. And I know that God doesn't start things that he doesn't finish. And so I know that the finances will come your way, the people will come your way, the companies will come your way. And just thank you for such an amazing initiative, guys.
Well, we thank you for the opportunity.
Have a great day. Thanks, guys.